Ever since man first set foot on the moon in 1969, the question has been, what's next? And the logical answer would be Mars. In fact, for the past 7 months, NASA's spunky little rover Curiosity has been prowling around the Gale crater on Mars, sending back tantalizing pieces of information, stoking the fires of curiosity about the prospect of life on Mars. The newest report is an analysis of a rock sample collected by Curiosity that shows, yes, indeed, ancient Mars could have supported living microbes. Well, never mind the microbes. What about the prospects for humans? And what would it take to get human beings to Mars? That's a question being worked on right now in the laboratory of Ben Longmire. He's an assistant professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Michigan. His research areas are electric propulsion, spacecraft design, and basic plasma physics. So, Ben, let's start at square one. What would it take to get humans to Mars? We got the little rover there. What now?
Sure, yeah. So we can get robots there. We can get small payloads there, about a metric ton. So, you know, the kind of the weight of a car, a small Mini Cooper or something like that, which is about the size of the Curiosity rover there right now.
Yeah.
We know how to do that. It turns out it's still pretty difficult. So you've maybe seen the landing sequence. They use this sky crane with retro rockets, and they lower this thing down on a pulley system, and it, you know, lands the rover, and then the thing disconnects, and it flies away. Before that sequence, they had this big heat shield to enter the very thin Martian atmosphere. But it turns out that whole sequence is sort of capped out at about 2 tons. So they've landed 1 ton. They could maybe double it. But going beyond that sort of mass, it's very difficult to land anything bigger than that on the surface of Mars right now. We don't really know how to do it.
Okay, so we are not at a place where, given enough money, we could go ahead and send a manned mission there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, maybe. Researchers are very good at figuring out how to do something, right? So that's my job. That's the job of a large number of researchers around the country, NASA included. And, you know, given some money, they're very good at attacking these sorts of problems. But to date, we haven't had the funding and sort of the base level, maybe public support, to go do a mission like this. It's expensive. It's hard to do. It takes many years. And so some of the biggest challenges of doing this are actually political. How do you, in a 4 or 8 year system, how do you get sustained funding for 20 years, right?
So it sounds like the answer might not be in the government. The answer might be in private business.
It could be. It could very well be.
We're speaking with Professor of Aerospace Engineering at University of Michigan, Ben Longmire, who is working in the areas of electric propulsion and spacecraft design, and asking what would it take to get humans to Mars. Now, would we have to have a different kind of propulsion system or a different kind of spacecraft than we've seen, let's say, with the Apollo missions?
Right, yeah. So the Apollo used chemical fuel. Mm-hmm. You burn that chemical fuel just like the space shuttle and the Saturn V and all that stuff. It turns out you can go to the moon with that, no problem. We've done that, obviously. Mm-hmm. We know how to do that. That technology is about 100 years old, maybe older, and it has a pretty good performance, pretty good. But it's not quite good enough to do it in a really efficient way for going to Mars. So, for example, if we wanted to go to Mars today, mm-hmm. we want to land people down on the surface of Mars, walk around, mm-hmm. get those people back into their capsule and get them back.
Mm-hmm.
To do that sort of mission as cheaply or as basically as we could, you're still talking about $100 billion or more. So this exceeds the NASA budget, the NASA yearly budget, by a factor of, you know, 10 at least.
Especially now that it's
cutting. Yeah, that's right. Now that is being cut. So,
yeah.
So that's a hard pill to swallow, right? So convincing the taxpayers and Congress that we should do this mission for this amount of money, that's difficult. That's a difficult sell. So you can get to Mars with this traditional sort of chemical mm-hmm. propulsion. That's possible. It just turns out that it's really expensive because you need to burn so much fuel to get there. And you get there relatively slowly, about 2 years or so round trip.
Okay. So are there things on the horizon that would change this 100-year-old technology and move us forward?
There absolutely are, yeah. So the lab that I work in, the Plasma Dynamics and Electric Propulsion Lab, PEPL, which was started by Alec Gallimore back in the early 90s. This lab is sort of the leader, not just in Michigan, but in the world, for developing new propulsion technologies. So we work on the full scale of propulsion in terms of power. So we work on very high power things, we work on very low power things, and sort of everything in between. We're working on now a new thruster that will be very high power. It'll be what you would need to send humans to Mars. So you could cluster a whole bunch of these large thrusters that we're working on in our lab, put them on a spacecraft, light them off, and send people and supplies to Mars more quickly than we can do that now. And more importantly,
More cheaply.
Okay. That's right.
So it could be less than 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. We think we could do it in about a year in a realistic sort of time frame round trip. And we think we could do it for a fraction of the cost as well, given that these thrusters use their fuel much more efficiently. They use plasma instead of chemical propulsion.
Do you think there would be any shortage of people saying, nope, I want to go?
I don't think so. So I teach an aerospace propulsion class, teaching for the first time this spring. And I ask my students, I've asked them about three times, you know, okay, let's lay out this mission. Going to Mars, you're coming back. How many people would sign up for this trip? How many people would go? And I get, you know, I get maybe about a third of the class raise their hands, and some of them want to be astronauts themselves someday. And so that's about a third. And then I ask the question, what if it's a one-way trip? What if you have to stay there and live out the rest of your life on this mission? Maybe supplies show up. Maybe the thing goes bankrupt and you're sort of, you have to live off the land.
You're a science fiction movie.
Yeah, that's right. How many people would do that? And it turns out it's about half. So about one-sixth of my class still has their hands up.
Still has that adventurous
spirit. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Would you do it?
I don't think I would do the one-way trip. I enjoy nature, and I enjoy being outside, breathing oxygen, and, you know, freely without a suit on.
Ben Longmire is an assistant professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Michigan College of Engineering. So good luck with the first light in a couple of weeks. Thanks for talking with us, and we'll be enjoying following your process as you go through this.
Great. Thank you.